Everybody take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke. I want to read a very, perhaps for you, familiar passage, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. I just want to say how nice it is to see so many of you who are folks who have grown up here at Mountain Brook Baptist, and perhaps you're off and living in different places and working, or perhaps you're in college and you're home for break. Just know how grateful we are every time we get a chance to see you around Christmas. So you all mean a lot to us in so many ways, and I see you just a reminder of the different ways that Lord's used our church in your lives and in the past and continues to use you. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Luke writes, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the things that I like about sports the most is when some team comes back from a seemingly impossible deficit and they win the game. Now, I say seemingly impossible because usually when we say impossible, what we mean is improbable. Improbable. If you ever watch the games now, all the analytics they have, and I have no idea how they arrive at these percentages, but you're watching the game and it says, all right, often my team has like a 96% chance to lose. Right, and you're watching these like trackers go back and forth, and it seems like, oh man, you know, like barring a miracle, they're gonna lose. And I've seen it play out enough, and I've been disappointed enough that sometimes I just assume it's gonna happen again. And there's a part of me that I think, all right, I'm not letting my heart get into this again. I've seen this song and dance, I've been through this story before, I know how this is gonna end. And sometimes that attitude keeps me from witnessing things that are almost miraculous. It happened as late as last night. I have a way of cheering for teams that are not particularly successful. In 1985, I became a Chicago Bears fan. Now you say, Wayne, you are from South Carolina. How in the world did you choose to cheer for the Bears? Well, it was 1985, and they had Jim McMahon at quarterback, and they had Walter Payton at running back, and they had Richard Dent and Mike Singletary and the Fridge, and they had a music video. They did the Super Bowl Shuffle. I have a sweatshirt at home that I should have brought for you. One of my Christmas presents one year was an airbrushed sweatshirt with a bear running with a football on the back of it. But all I can tell you is that from 1985 to 2025, it's been a lot of misery. A lot of close calls. We lost the last Super Bowl that we were in against the Colts. We played the Eagles one year. All we had to do was win, and the field goal kicker was lined up for a perfect field goal, and all he had to do was make it. I remember I left church that night. I'd been working with the youth. I was sitting in my carport listening to the radio. He's lined up, and he missed it. And every time I let my heart kind of believe that maybe this time will be different, bam, more disappointment. Last night, the Bears played the Packers. I quit at halftime. I'd seen this before. I even said to Webb, I would love to pull for a successful team just once. Like, the Bears are decent this year, but here we go again, right? And to my amazement, I woke up this morning, and after reading the Bible, I pulled out my app. And the Bears won. They had a 0.5 chance of winning. They were down 7 with 2 minutes to go and 2 timeouts. And they kicked an onside kick. And lo and behold, they recovered it. And they scored. And they stopped the Packers in overtime. And they threw this touchdown pass that the Lord had to be involved in to win the game. But when you've had your heart broken enough and you've seen the story and all these failed attempts, we can laugh about things like football, but all of us have experienced those kind of things in life. And we've been through seasons and we think, you know what? I'm not letting my heart get excited this time. But I have disappointment after disappointment, failure after failure, that things don't ever seem to be going the way that I want them to go. And if we're not careful, our hearts check out. And it might be that as our hearts check out, we miss the opportunity to participate in something wonderful that God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. When you get to this passage in Luke chapter 1, it's been roughly 400 years between Malachi and the New Testament. You think about that for a minute. 400 years. And there were all these would-be saviors who had come. All these would-be messiahs who had come. And without fail, they might have delivered in the short term, but without fail, all of them ultimately fell short. And God's people find themselves under oppressive Roman rule, probably thinking that the farthest thing from their mind is that a king would come to deliver them. That those promises that God had made to David, that he would have a king to sit on his throne forever, and of his kingdom there would be no end, that likely, perhaps those were just wishful thinking stories from the past that never would ultimately come true in their lives. And into that setting, Luke writes this account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, just so you know, if you go back and you look early in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, Luke is saying that I'm writing history, that I am not making this up, but it's eyewitness accounts of how the Lord has been at work in our lives in the person of Jesus. And so Luke is pointing us back to the historical reality of how God has worked through these most unlikely people to bring his promises to pass. You first hear about Zechariah and Elizabeth, and the reason why they're long shots is that they are, well, let's just say they're advanced in years. We might say they're old. And Elizabeth was barren. And you remember that story where Zechariah is in the temple. He's in the center of everything in Jerusalem. It's his time, and he goes in, and the angel Gabriel visits him. And do you remember what he said? He's like, you're going to have a baby. And Zechariah said, with all due respect, perhaps you don't know my situation. I'm old. She's old. We've never had a kid. And he asked the question, how can this be? How can this be? And Gabriel gives him kind of just this real strong rebuke. And he says, let me remind you that I'm Gabriel, that I come from the presence of the Lord, and that what I say you ought to understand and respond in faith. And because you haven't, you're not going to be able to talk. As we're getting ready for Christmas holiday, some of you might be praying the Lord does that in some of your relatives' lives, right? You're not going to be able to talk until these things come to pass. This old couple, it seems like a long shot, and the Lord in his grace comes and says, I'm going to do something that with your strength and power is impossible. And then he goes and he visits Mary. And they have a totally different situation, Mary and Joseph. Mary is a virgin. She's been betrothed to a man named Joseph, who was the house of who? David. And Luke is saying, hey, this is a big deal. Pay attention. He's of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and he says, greetings, O favored one. Why? The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled. Anytime an angel shows up in the Bible, by the way, everybody's terrified. And Mary's like, what in the world is happening? She's in Nazareth. She's way up north, kind of in the sticks, right? Way away from Jerusalem. And the angel Gabriel comes to her. And he says, don't be afraid, for you found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he shall be called Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. Not just you're going to have a son, but he is going to be great, and he's going to be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father, David. Now, David is not his father like Joseph will be. The angel Gabriel is saying, in this son, this long-awaited son, all of the Old Testament expectations of a Savior will be fulfilled. Go back later, read 2 Samuel 7 or 1 Chronicles 17, and you'll see this promise, this covenant that the Lord made with David, that he would have one, a son, to sit on his throne, and he would rule forever, and of his kingdom there would be no end. And the angel Gabriel is saying, all of that is ultimately going to be fulfilled in this son. And what's Mary's question in response to Gabriel's declaration of this truth? How? How? How will this be since I'm a virgin? How will this be since I have not known a man? With flesh, this promise is what? Impossible. It's impossible. And Mary says, how in the world is this going to happen? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, I wish I could have been there and seen Mary's reaction to this news. But you and I read it now, and we've kind of become accustomed to the story, but if I was her, I'd be like, what? The Holy Spirit is going to do this work of creation in your womb. That where there is currently no life, he is going to fashion a life. And he says, and just so you know, even now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, she's also conceived a son. And this is her 6th month with the one who was called barren. For what? Verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. As I was reading this passage this week, and as I was thinking about the message that the Lord had for us to hear this morning, it seems to me that's the message that I think the Lord would have for us to hear this morning. That with flesh and with our own strength and with our own power, nothing of ultimate value or worth is possible. But with God and his presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, everything is possible. And this work that he's going to do by the power of his Spirit to give Mary a child, it makes me think back with other commentators to that man Adam who was created out of nothing. And the Lord breathed life into him. And in a really beautiful way, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and fix all that Adam broke through his sin and his disobedience. And all the kings that had come before that might be candidates to rule on the throne, every one of them ultimately would fail because they were sinful. Because they have the same problem in their hearts that you and that I have. And all the disappointment and all the failure was pointing us toward the reality that we need God to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. And in the person of Jesus, he has done it. He has created the only perfect redeemer for you and me, that he is 100% God. He is 100% man. And at every point along the way where you and I sinned, either by actively doing things we shouldn't or passively not doing the things that we should, Jesus did them all perfectly. And he would live his life in such a way that he would bring the kingdom of God to pass on earth, and eventually he would lay his life down on the cross and be raised from the dead on the third day for our salvation. And the message that you and I ought to hear as we contemplate all that God's done for us in Jesus is that in our own power and strength, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I recently asked you at the close of a service, I said, if you don't know the Lord, or if you just want to get together and talk about your relationship with the Lord, there's nothing that would make me happier than to do that. And I've said that before. Would you know that some people actually took me up on it? And over the past week, I've had the chance to hear people's stories of how the Holy Spirit is at work in their hearts and their lives. And I tell you that because I want all of you to believe that the same thing is true and possible for you. That wherever you are in your relationship with the Lord, whatever may seem impossible, whatever may seem like it's never going to come to pass, I want you to hear this message that the Lord delivered through Gabriel to Mary, that in your own strength and in your own power, it is indeed impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That all of our faith is ultimately resting on our belief that God does the impossible for us, that ultimately not even death will separate us from his love, because God in his power raised Jesus up on the third day, and it's our belief that he's also going to raise us up in our own strength and our own power. It's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So just invite you during this season of Christmas to open yourself up to that belief that God knows you and that he sees you, and that with his power and his mercy and his grace, all things are possible in your life. So don't give up. Don't give up. If you're looking the next year and you're like, all right, I would say I'm going to read the Bible next year, but I've said that about 6 years now and I still haven't done it. Try again. Root yourself in a community of faith who will walk alongside and encourage you. If there's that sin you're struggling with, or if there's this desire in your heart that I know I'm not right with the Lord, but I'll do that later, just open yourself up, because God would have for you to know eternal and abundant life through faith in Jesus, and he can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. I'd like you to pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word and your spirit. We thank you for the ways in which we've seen your miraculous hand at work in our lives in the past, and we thank you for this record of it in the scriptures, and we pray that you would help us to continue to be people of faith, that we would not check out, that we would not let past disappointments keep us from believing, that even now you are present and you are at work, and we pray that you would continue to do your gracious work in and through us even now. Give us eyes of faith to believe that you're present and that you're working. And use us to proclaim the good news of Jesus in word and in deed during this season and every season. We offer this prayer in your holy name. Amen.